Okay, so let us launch into the strange Agadata, which, like I said, I'm going to deal with in more detail thing in the Agadata this year. Maybe I'll make some rudimentary points about it now, but I want to focus on the halachic points. Who wants to read this wonderful Agadata and bring us into the discussion of crowns? Good. Take it away. Chavtes Amud Beis. So, Moshe goes up to heaven. Go. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav.
Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Besha Sha'ala Moshe. Moshe went up to heaven. Vamarom Mito Le'akosh Baruch Hu. And he found God. Sheyoshev Bekosher Keterim Osio.
Osio.
And he was sitting there tying the crown to the letters. And Amar Lefanov, Rabban Shalom, he said, before God, Mi me'achav
ayedecha.
Mi me'achav ayedecha. Who's stopping your hands?
Meaning what?
Who's stopping you from...
From what?
Writing?
No.
Tying?
No. No. Other way around. Who's holding you up? Meaning, why are you still doing this? The Torah's done. Right? Why are you... Who's holding you back? Who's making you write these crowns?
Amar lo, and he said to him, Adam echad yesh she'atid lios besof.
Besof kamadero.
There's a man destined to be born at the end of the...
Many generations.
Many generations. Akiva ben Yosef Shmuel, that's the Akiva ben Yosef is his name. She'ati ledarosh, I'll call kutz bekutz, and we derive.
He is going to derive.
From every thorn.
No, every coats. What's a coats?
A thorn.
No, coats social yud. Remember we spent several days in
the thing.
The thing, yeah, the thingy.
It's like a
good,
thorn.
Great.
It's right. As thorn.
Right.
Tilin shel halachos. Mounds upon mounds of halachos.
Good.
Amar lefan of Rabban Shalom. Rabban Shalom. Well, God said before him, Ha-ra-u-li.
Ha-ra-u-li. Let me see him.
Yeah, show me. Amar lo yadim. Chazar le'acharocho. And return.
No, chazar le'acharecha. What does that mean?
Return behind.
Walk backwards. It's like, you know, like in the. Who is. None of you are at my house. You've been to my house for Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right? So you know the play, right? You know the play, right? So when they want to go backwards in time, right, what do? They do less like, you know, low tech at Shabbos, right? So they pretend, they do this, right? Oh, we're going backwards in time, we're going back, right? That's what he said. Chazor lecha, walk backwards, right? Walk into the, right, into the time-space continuum. Yeah.
You got a mini Sheldon Cooper.
Haloch, Veyoshev, Bisov, Shmona, Sharos.
Well done.
He woke, he walked and he sat down at the end of eight rows. He didn't know what they were saying.
Good, so this should be chizik for all of you. If you don't know what's going on in Shir, or you don't know what's going on in Seder, that's okay. Moshe didn't know his. No, right? Moshe sits in the eighth row in Beis Medrash, and he has no idea what's going on. Now, by the way, some academics have pointed out, why is this so significant that he was in the eighth row?
Yeah, I was
going
to ask why.
Because how many rows are in the average Beis Medrash?
Seven.
Oh, I
good. Is that he doesn't even make it in the Beis Medrash? That's the subtle point here. Is that he doesn't make it in the Beis Medrash? Right? There's the seven rows of the Talmidim, and he's not even, you know, kilu. He's like bachutz. Fine, something like that. So he sits there, yeah, and he says, "V'lo yodein mayin omrin." He has no idea what's going on.
Tashash
Koko.
Koko.
What does that mean?
And he like got weak.
Yeah, like not like physically weak. Yeah. Like he's just, you know. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Kavan. Oh, Kavan. Shagia ledavar echad amrlo talmidav. And when Rabbi Akiva
got to a certain halacha, he got to a certain halacha ledavar echad. The student said to him.
Said to him, Rabbi. Minyan lach.
Minayin lacha.
Where do you get this from?
Yeah.
Amar Lahem, he said to them, halacha l'moshe.
This, by the way, becomes like in rabbinic culture. This becomes a fun line, right? The Rav Lichtenstein used to say that once the Rav was saying something which had no source, and one of his students got so agitated that he turned to the Rav and he said, Rebbe, minayin lacha. And what did he say? No, he didn't, actually. That would have been very funny. But no, he didn't. He said a very rough line. He looked at him in the eyes and he said, pure, cold logic. Right? Which is about the most migdal logic you could say, right? Good. So he says, Where do you get it? Amar lo.
Halacha Moshe Misinai.
Good. Halacha Moshe Misinai. Now, most of the time when people look at this Gemara, right, the thing that bothers them most is this line. What bothers them with this line?
Because
Moshe is there. Yeah, Moshe doesn't understand it. Right? Moshe doesn't understand it. It's Halacha Moshe Misinai. So there's two radically different interpretations you could give. And again, and I got it to share, I think I'll spend more time in it. But what are the two very different interpretations you could have of this story? And they will lead to very different conclusions about how you view the halachic system. How could it be that something is halachal Moshe Misinai and Moshe didn't know it?
He didn't understand of the halacha that he was sharing.
Good, so one possibility is to say that halacha really develops. And in Chanami, the principles are giving to Moshe, but the Torah develops in such a way that even Moshe doesn't know, right? That is the radical theological approach, right? Which may be very well be true, and maybe something is true. What's the very non-radical theological approach? How could it be that Moshe didn't know? And by the way, and why is Moshe therefore happy, right? When he hears, Halacha Moshe Misinai?
Because the later generations were learning.
Correct, right? He realizes that despite the fact that he doesn't understand it, it's a natural outgrowth from him, but Menachanami, he didn't understand it, but there, halacha develops, and he realizes that he's still the source. Right? That's the radical theological read. What's the very non-radical theological read?
They made it up, and then since they don't know where they got it from, they say Moshe Sinai.
No, that would be very radical, right? It's what Rashi says. Anyone pay attention to what Rashi said? Rashi gives you the most conservative theological interpretation of this, which is, look at it, Nityashva Dato. Right? Look, this is 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down in the short lines. Nityashva Dato. What does he say?
Shel Moshe.
Moshe comes down. Why?
Mashmo Amar Afal Pisha Adain Lo
Kibla.
He said
well, why does he come down? Because this is down before the Torah is given.
Oh.
Right? He doesn't understand it, but he didn't get it yet, so he calms down. Why? Because they're quoting him, and he didn't get it yet. It's like, oh, this is what I'm going to get. Right? That's the most conservative theological thing you could say. No. Of course Moshe knows it. He just hasn't gotten it yet.
But didn't we say that Moshe saw God, and he said, why are you tying
the crowns?
Because the Torah's already finished.
Then but Moshe hasn't read it yet. Correct. Moshe hasn't been given it yet. That's what Rashi's reading it.
It sounds, though, that if Moshe's saying the Torah's already finished, that means he already got the Torah.
No, not necessarily. It's finished. Right? Like, he's up in Shemayim hanging out for those 40 days, right? Again, do you understand how radical this is? Rashi just says, what it sounds like from Rashi, you could justifiably, according to Rashi, say that Moshe really got the Kol HaTorah Kula. Why? He's not understand it? Because he didn't get this yet. Why does he calm down? Because he finds out he's going to get this. Right? Big deal. Right? The radical theological approach, which I also happen to think is true, right, and has many Rishonim to back it, which is, no, in a Chanami, Torah develops. And therefore Moshe calms down because he realizes that his Torah is the source of this. But no, he really didn't get this. It really develops from those principles, and the Torah is an ever-developing system. Right? You should realize how much hangs on this, right? This comes to the Elu Ve'elu question, right? What does Elu Ve'elu mean? Right? How many truths are there? How many possibilities are there in God's Torah? V'chulei. Okay, fine, good. Then Rabbi Kiva says, what does he say? This part is less relevant for our sugya, but what does he say?
You know what Moshe says?
So Moshe says, yes, sorry.
Chazar v'olafnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it came back before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Elfani said before him, Rabbana Sha'olam, Yeshacha Adam Kazeh, Be'atan Ten Torah Al Yadi, you have this great man, and then you gave the Torah through my hands.
Yeah.
Amar Lo, Shtok. And he told him to shut up.
Thank you. Shtok! Right? Why?
Kach Allah B'chashava Lifnei, because that's what I want.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Too bad. Shh. Right? So then he says, Amar Lefanav, this gets you into the Yom Kippur mode, right? The Malchus.
Harat Tani Tarasa Harani Sachro. He showed me the Torah and then showed me the reward.
You showed me his Torah, so let me see his reward, right? How does this work out for this great Talmud Chacham? And he says, great, look.
Amar Lo Chazar
Chazor lacharecha. Turn around.
When he turned around, ra'a sheshoklin besaro b'mokolin, and he saw him being like skinned, like
meat. Yep, he's scraping his skin off with metal combs. Great.
Yeah.
So what did you say?
Amar the fun of Rabban Shalom said before God, Zo Torah, Zo Shachar. This is Torah, and this is its reward. And
I think you could have put a little more oomph into that.
Amar Lay.
But okay, yes. Zo Torah, Zo Shachar, right? Like, okay, yeah, for sure.
Amar Lay, Shtok, shut up.
That's what I want. That's what I want. Okay, good. Now, what does that mean is a very interesting question. The phrase of Kach Alav Machshava Lefanai. Do any of you come to my Gaddish? No, you're all in the Safras, right? Okay, so very quickly, a suggestion I once heard from one of my Rebbeim is that the Gemara elsewhere says that God, Alav Machshavto, God had a Hava Amina to create the world Bedin. And then he saw that the world would not be nitkayim, so he created it birachamim. But so one of my teachers, right, Clapper, suggested that that's what this Gemara is saying, right? Kach alav machshava lefanai isn't. This is what I thought. It's right. It's connected to that other alav machshava of God to create the world bedin. If right, Rabbi Kiva was so great that he got to live in a world of perfect din. That's how we, you know, how much of a tzaddik he was. But even Rabbi Kiva, look, this is what the world looks like. If you live in a world of din, right? And most of the world doesn't live that way. They live berachamim, right? And it's connected to that. Okay, again, more to explore there, but let's leave that. The point that I want is, the next line is,
Amarava Sheva Osios Trichos Shosha Zivnin.
Ziyunin. What's Ziyunin?
These seven letters require these three crowns.
What is this? Where does the word come from? How do you know that it's a crown? What does it literally mean? Daniel, what does it mean?
Oh, there's a Rosh.
Zion.
Is there a Rosh?
It's a Zion. Ziyunin. They need Zions because crowns look something like little Zions.
I guess. They go with little vubs too.
Yeah, sure, but that's what it is. It's a little crown. And what are they?
Viyuhain Shatnas Gats.
They're the Shatnas Gats letters, right? Shatnas Gats, Shatnas Gats. I don't know. However you want to pronounce it. I don't care. Right? The point is Shin Ayin Tet Nun Zion Gimel Tzadi. Okay? The Shatnas Gats letters. Okay, so as we've asked multiple times, is this halacha of the crowns, is this essential to the letters or not? So, Daniel, I know you said it during Seder, so let's say it again. How does this story connect to this halachic statement? What does it, this is from the Rav, how does this indicate, what does this indicate about the relationship between the letters and the crowns?
It can't be that useful, or like it can't be necessary.
I don't know, necessary? What? Try that one more time. You're almost there.
It can't be that important.
No? I would say the one word that I can prove is it's not definitional. Yeah. Right? Whether it's necessary or not, you could say maybe it's necessary. But it's not definitional. This is clearly in addition to the letters. And how do you get that from the story?
Because Moshe didn't even know about it.
Good. Moshe gets there and he sees the Torah done. And he says, and what does he say? What's the key word there? He says, he sees God tying
the crown.
Crowns to the Otia, which means that even before the crowns are on them, what are they defined as?
Osios,
meaning, right? They are already letters. These are clearly not definitional to the letters, right? So the Rav says, why did they got it to here? What did they got it to teach us? That whatever these crowns are, they are not definitional to the letters. The letters exist. Now, by the way, there's a very good way of proving this, Mea Achuz, and that I didn't give you, I spared you a little bit, which is that according to the Gemara, did our Sifrei Torah, were they always written in Ktav Ashurit?
No.
No, how do we know? According to the Gemara, was it always, no, it's no Machloket. There is no, hold it. Was the Torah always written in Ashurit? No, it's no machloket. Was it always written Ashurit? There's no machloket about that. No, it is not. The Gemara has a machloket as to whether the Torah was written in Ktav Ivri, and then Ezra, when we came back from Ashur, wrote it in Ashurit, or what? What's the other sheet that pays?
I already told you.
No, it was the other day. What is it?
I already told you that it was given in Ashurit.
And then what? And then it was in Ivrit, and then Ezra was brought it back to Ashurit. I was very careful with my language. Not that's not what I said. I said, was the Torah always written? I know, and that's why I kept repeating it. The Torah, my question was very precise. Was the Torah always written in Ashurit? The answer according to the Gemara is absolutely not. The Gemara has two shito. Either the Torah was given in Ktav Ivri, And then eventually Ezra changed the Ksav of the Torah to what we know Ksav Ashurit. Or the second day, the Gemara doesn't like that at all and says, as Pace is intuiting, that it originally was Ashurit, then it changed to Ivrit, and then Ezra brought it back to Ashurit. But Benkach or Benkach, when the Torah was written in Ivrit, right, in Ktav Ivri, and not in Ktav Ashurit, were there crowns? No. Right? Now, Pace is right that the Gemara has a machloket about whether it was given in Ashurit. But there's no machloket about whether there was a period in time in which Sifrei Torah were written in Ivrit. The question is only whether that was the original giving of the Torah or a middle stage bracketed by Ashurit on both sides. Okay?
Wouldn't it make sense that it was a middle stage? Because then why would you change it?
That's why the Gemara says it, right? The Gemara says, how could Ezra create something out of nowhere? It must be he brought back the original. But the point is, in the middle.
It to begin with.
Again, that's why I don't want to get into it, because I don't want to go down this rabbit hole. But the point in the Gemara is that there was a period in time it wasn't Ashurit, which means the crowns that we know on the Ashuri letters were not always there. Again, Pace is right. It's a machlok about whether it was originally there, but it's no machlok about whether there was a period of time where it was Ifrit. That was what the Rav pointed out from this. Now, if it is not definitional, you can still ask a second question, which is it? Is it?
Ma'akev.
Yeah. Right? Something can be non-definitional and still be essential. But if it's... Right? This is a one-directional question. If it is definitional, then it is definitely essential. If it is not definitional, you can still ask whether it's essential. But likely, what does it make it sound like in the story? Is it essential?
No.
My guess would have been not. Right? Because Moshe could imagine the Torah without them. Right? To put it very sort of... Right, bluntly. Now, I said don't read this, I want to look at the Chassam Sofer for a second. I want to run through it quickly. I'm going to try to do it like this. Right, sources that I think I want in Shir, but I don't think you need to read inside, I will make a note of that on the source sheet and try to make it minimal, right, to focus on the main ones to read. But the Chassam Sofer in his Tshuva makes this point clear, and he writes as follows. Al dara sefer Torah yashan noshan shenichtav otiyot v'tagim mishunim merubim. They brought a Sefer Torah in front of him. It was an old Torah, and there were just crowns, weird crowns, endless crowns everywhere. The Otiyot Akumot and twisted letters. Etc. This is what he was asked. He says, "Vehine odot rivoya tagim ein lefoslo." He says, "The in what? Did you not get a sheet?
I have one either.
Oh, okay. There's on my desk." He says, "Vineo, don't reboy tagin in the foslo. All these extra crowns don't postle it; they don't invalidate it." The Kfar Katav Rambam Shenagu Ishmi Piish the Tayeg Bekamam Makamot Zulat Shat Nizgats. The Rambam already says that there was a minog among Sofrim, as you Sofrim know, to put crowns on letters other than the Shat Nizgats letters. V'chein Lazer Odio Dakumos, Mufofio Rufian Kfulot, and all these different things that we do. V'Sefer Ben Meshek Lagon Damesek El Yazer. Right, all these svarim, they quote these minhagim. And he quotes all these different things that you have, okay? And he says, the Kaven chain safekim asover hosif midato in lefsol. Once we know that you're allowed to add crowns, then aim psol b'chitzonam. It also doesn't invalidate it without the crowns, because right, anything that you're allowed to add and it doesn't possible to say for Torah, what does that mean? Right, he makes the argument, it doesn't integrate in, which means that without it, you're fine. With extras, you're fine. And what's his proof? I have a small proof from our story. Why? Etc. Right? This whole story. What does that mean? Moshe didn't know about these crowns. Hayasavur dilanoi ba'alma. So what did Moshe think was going on? What did he think God was doing? Decorating. Making it look nice. It was calligraphy. And he says in Moshe.
Wait, is he saying it's the same as Ksivatama?
Well, no, not even Ksivatama.
It's extra.
Correct. Right, he says the simplest way of reading this story is that if Moshe can look at the letters and say, why are you doing this, right? What did Moshe think? How's Chassam's overthinking it? That God was... I mean, what was Moshe's Havamina, right? God disavowed him of this and said, no, no, there are many halacha that actually comes out of this. There's a point to this. But what did he think it was? Decoration. So he says, what you see from the ears, the crowns are essentially a decoration letter. If you don't have them, fine. If you had extra ones, fine.
You're not supposed to make extra marks.
Oh,
I think God is above that.
Oh, no. So you make an important point. You make an important point. So, what changes this from a random mark in the Sefer Torah? You tell me, Nachum. Yes, but the Chassam Sofer is using this to derive that you're allowed to add crowns. What makes it different from a random mark?
Because here it's part of the letter.
Good! Good. Look at the last line in 6. Look at source 6. I was going to say it later, but Nachum is thinking like Rabbeinu Yerucham in the name of the Ramah. So who's Rabbeinu Yerucham, by the way? Where is he from? Nice, but no, he's from Provence. He's one of the Provence Halls, very good. Yerucham is a wonderful place. You should go. There are wild peacocks everywhere. It's great.
Sounds pretty cool.
It is. It is an excellent yeshiva.
It's here in Israel?
Excellent yeshiva. Yes, Yerucham. Yerucham.
The yeshiva itself has peacocks?
Yes, when I went to visit, there are peacocks everywhere.
It's so cool.
It is an awesome yeshiva. I'm a bit biased, but it's an awesome yeshiva. It is. It was. It's literally a gush branch. Like, the... Like,
sounds like a very scary place.
It's a wonderful place, beautiful. Like, Kabbalah Shabbos is really quite cool. Kabbalah Shabbos is really cool. They daven Kabbalah Shabbos on the mountaintop in the middle of the desert. Then, this just proves how intense they are. At least when I went, they went back to the Beis Medrash and before dinner on Friday night had an hour of Seder.
Whoa.
I was like, it is great. This is my type of place. Love those people. Anyways, he quotes the Ramah, Rameir Alevi Abu Lafia. Shahazunim Trichin Liga Beot. The crowns need to what?
Touch the letters.
They must touch the letters. And that's the difference. Right? A random mark you can't do.
I mean, you could still say it's a smudge on the letter, though.
You could. But, right? The Chassam Sofer says, you see from our Gemara that Moshe thought it was legitimate to decorate, and that's why he's saying, why are you decorating? Right? But he didn't say, right? What did Moshe not say to God? God, you're posseling the Torah! Now, you could just say that's because it's God, right? He can't possel the Torah,
yeah.
Right? But, I mean, as much as that conversation would have been fun, right? Okay. Good. Now, our Gemara. What is the context of our Gemara, the broader context? Which of the three stams are we talking about? Mezuzah, Sefer Torah, or Tefillin? The broader context of our Gemara. Broader context of our Gemara. Mezuzah, remember? Remember the Mishnah? We were in the middle of Mezuzah. The local context is Sefer Torah, right? The Mishnah was about Mezuzah. So now we have a question. Okay. Are these crowns, are they, do we need them in all three contexts? So let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam says something quite surprising. So let's look at the Rambam. Perek Bet of Hilchos Tefillin Mezuzah Sefer Torah. Halacha Ched and Tet. What does he say?
What page?
182, if you all have the same Rambam.
Tivia, there's an extra one right
here. There's a pile over here.
If you haven't taken your own, then just take one to keep. 182. So what does the Rambam say? Who wants to read all Ched Tet? Take it away, Gavi. So first of all, what are we talking about?
Tefillin.
We're talking about tefillin, good. Right? And he says you should be careful about these crowns. And then he gives you a whole list of where you should put these crowns. And then look at the end of Halacha Tet. And he says... Kola otiyot hametuya goat.
Kola otiyot hametuya goat. Sheshes right. Dimlosa hatagin o pasif figara behen lo pasal.
Good. So what does he say? Are they essential?
No.
No. In Tefillin, they are not essential. Good. Now look at Perek Hey, which is talking about. What's the context? Perek Hey, take it, page 185. Halacha, first look at the first line of Halacha Aleph, just to ground ourselves. What are we talking about? Kezad Kot Vinin Ha. Good, we're talking about Mezuzah. Now go to Halacha Gimel.
Parasha Rishona Yesh Ba Sheva Osios.
Sorry.
The end of Bet.
Really the end of Bet, right? I don't know why it's broken up this way. The last line. Bitsarach Lizar B'Tagin Sheva. You have to be careful of the crowns. Ve'el Hei Natagin Chosen B'Mezuzah. Now go.
Parasha Rishona Yesh Ba Sheva Osios. In the first Parsha, there are seven letters. Alkol Os Ve'Os Nehen Shlosha Zinin. And they all have three crowns. Ve'elu Hein Shin Ve'ayel Shel Shema. And Shin of Shema. Ve'nun De Nafsha.
Nafshecha. But this halacha should not be hard for you to read, right? He just, you know these parshiot. He's just picking the letters, yeah.
Ushnei Zinin Shel Mezuzos. Ushnei Tesin Shel Letutafos. Ugrasha Shnia. Yesh Bashesh Osios. Alkol achas mehein shlosha zinin ve'elu hein gimel shel tiganecha ushnei zinin shel mezuzos ushnei teisin shel letotafos ve'tzadi shel haaretz ve'im lo asa tagin o shehosif behen o gara mehen lo pasol. And if it doesn't have any of that, it's still not pasol.
Good. And now one more context, then we'll come back to this halacha in just a minute. Right, Perek Zayin halacha ches and tes. Right, now we're talking about Sefer Torah. What does he write? Look at the end of Halacha Ches, middle of Halacha Ches. V'yizaher b'tagin. Right, be careful about the tagin, about the crowns of Inyan and their numbers. Right, dot, 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 dot. Beginning of Halacha Ches. Kol ha'dvarim ha'ilu lo nimru elo mitzvah min ha'muvchar. All these things are only the best thing. V'imshina b'tikun zeh, shlo diktik b'tagin. If you weren't careful about the crowns, the katavot yod kulan kitiknan, and you wrote everything properly otherwise. So what's the halacha? Look at the last line in Tet. Areza sefer kasher. So the Rambam is consistent. Are these all the different tagin? Are they essential?
No.
Good. So first point is that the Rambam just takes the simple read of our Gemara. These are not essential, and says that's true for sefer Torah, mezuzah. Good. But now here's my problem. Okay. There are two different types of crowns in a Sefer Torah. What are they?
There's a taller one and a shorter one.
No, that's not what I mean. Right? Two categories. There are the random crowns, and then there's the Shatnez Getz. Right? Remember, right? There's the Shatnez Getz letters. What? And then there's other ones, right? Nachum, do you have crowns on other letters besides the Shatnez Getz letters? Good. So the Rambam is clear that none of these crowns are Ma'akev. What distinction could you have made?
It could be that he's differentiating between the Shatnez.
You could have distinguished between the Shatnez Getz and the other crowns.
Could be here he's talking about the other crowns.
Now, well, does the Rab...
It doesn't sound like the Shatnez Getz are decoration.
What was missing in the three halakhot you just read? What does the Rabbim never ever bring up?
The Shatnez Getz.
Shatnez Getz. What I just say is true?
No.
Sort of true. Daniel. In which of the three contexts does the Rambam believe in Shatnez Getz?
For decorational purposes.
Which one? Which of the three categories does the Rambam believe has Shatnez Getz halachos? Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzah?
Mezuzah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Mezuzah, how do I know?
Because that's what he was talking
about. So good, if I asked you, what does Shatnez Getz mean, what would you think it means?
He passed.
What does the halacha of Shatnez Getz mean?
These three Those letters.
These have seven
crowns.
Letters.
Have crowns.
Have crowns. How does the Rambam understand the phrase Shatnez Getz? You read it.
I did.
As it's a...
Oh, the letters of the parshios.
Only some shins, ayins, tets, nun, zayins, gimels, and sadis need crowns. Right? The Rambam has this interesting perspective that there are crowns on letters, none of them are ma'akev, but that halacha, like the special crown, the Shatnez Getz letters, that's not every shin, ayin, tet, nun, zayin, gimel, tzadi. That's only... First of all, it's only mezuzah. Second of all, it's only specific letters in mezuzah.
Halacha terms.
The ones that he listed for you. Right?
He lists exactly which nun needs
it. Were you not listening to Daniel? Yes. The shin and the shma. The ayin and the shma.
Okay.
He literally goes through, right? He says there's no magic rule of shot in his gets. Shot in his gets for the Rambam.
But
so,
that he does the same thing by Tefillin also. He also lists
correct, but it's but the only time he has shot in his gets is these.
Isn't it the same parshios though?
Ah, good. I have no lumdus for this, right? I have no lumdus for this position in the Rambam. I will just point out, as Rabinovich points out, that the simple answer to why the Rambam thinks that shat nizgetz gets is only by mezuzah and only these specific letters in mezuzah, again, which he doesn't think is ma'akev, but the reason he thinks this is true is probably not because of lumdus, but probably because, tell me why. Nachum, why? Why? Why would the Rambam think that shat nizgetz is only by mezuzah and only by these specific letters in mezuzah, not even all shins, ayins, etc.? I have no lumdus for this.
He thinks it's a decoration.
No. Why would he think only these letters? Where would he get that notion? I have no lumdus for this. What's the simplest answer? Yeah, because that's what he was told by his rebbe, that this was the tradition, and therefore he said, "Oh, when the Gemara says shot in his guts, it means these." Where would he have got? Which rebbe might have told him that? If the Rambam has a tradition, where is it probably coming from?
His
rebbe. And where's rebbe getting it from?
Rebbe.
Who are the Geonim? Right. He's probably just reflecting a Geonic tradition. How do I know? Because if you look at number two and number three, there are indeed such traditions in the Gonin with slight tweaks. If you look, for example, in the Halacha Ketuvot, he writes, "V'shiva asi d'shlosha tagei shat nizgetz bar min elein d'tzichus shnei zunim ma'adach la'safta yafte v'kumecha k'shartam l'dodavos k'amad razav kumecha." Right? Again, I don't want to get into exactly which tradition he has, but it's clear, according to him, the shat nizgetz letters of Halacha in mezuzah, and which letters in mezuzah? He has his own list of them, whatever. Right? Same the Tshuva's Gonin in number three. V'sheish adam araba Sheva otiyot tzrichot shlosha shlosha dagin v'chulei da ki kol elo otiyot tzrichot shlosha shlosha yudim b'mezuzah. All these letters need crowns in mezuzah. Elamiu tzarachat aleda eich hein shlosha shlosha yudim v'chein hu shat nizgatz kol rosh m'rosh kol achav v'sheva otiyot alalu kevin sheish losh neroshim v'shnei tzadim v'chulei. So I think the simplest answer is that there were a bunch of traditions floating around in the Gonic period, that maybe this is only about mezuzah, it's only specific letters in mezuzah, they had different letters in mezuzah, but there were people who believed that. Okay? I don't have any lumdus for it. Rav Ginsburg and I were talking about it. We both agree that Rabinovich is almost definitely right, that the reason the Rambam thinks this is because that was his tradition from the Gonim. You see there's a bunch of Gonic traditions floating around. Sometimes the answer is there is no lumdus. It just is what it is. And like we've seen in Sefer Torah, a lot of it is tradition. This is probably one of them. Okay? Now, the lumdish point we can make is that the Rambam derived from Mar Gemara, like Chacham Sofer, that how does he know that none of these are ma'akev? Because the letters are the letters without it. Right? That's what we learned from the Agadata. Good. Now, if I wanted to say that it's very hard to say that the crowns are essential. But there is another way of reading, right? You asked me, what is the way of reading the Agadata? There is another potential way you could read the Agadata, which is the relationship of the Agadata to our Gemara. Give me a different way of reading the Agadata to our Gemara. One is to say, yeah, you see that these aren't necessary, they're not essential, but there's another way of reading it, which is?
They are necessary.
So how would you read that?
Well, the Torah is completed, and then God goes back to tie these crowns.
Good. So you could the other extreme would be to say, no, the fact that God goes back and ties them and that Rabbi Kiva derives a lot from them. Correct. Well, Moshe thought, and then he learned something new. That is not true. That there are makev.
So was completed.
And what's a third possibility? And this is the one we'll see in a moment. But what's the third possibility? Come on.
It's just the chumrah.
What? No, that's not. That's a very unlikely read of the story. God put them there. They're there.
Fix it.
That there's a difference between which crowns and which crowns.
Shatnez gets.
Good. One is to say, there's two types of crowns. There's all the random ktarim, which are just decoration. That's why Moshe didn't know what they were. Right? We assumed that the story led into the shat nizgetz, and the crowns that the story is talking about are which crowns? The shat nizgetz. But it's possible that the story is talking about
decorations.
All the crowns that are Not the Shatnez Getz. And the reason the Shatnez Getz comes to the story is not it.
Because they're actually important.
Yeah, it's contrast. Is there's these crowns which are not essential that Moshe didn't know what to do with. And then there's these seven crowns which are indeed essential. And the story is there is contrast. There are certain types of crowns that are non-essential. And by the way, there's a halacha called the Shatnez Getz letters that need it. Who says what I just said?
Rashbam.
What?
Rashbam.
So he's saying the Shatnez.
It's the next source.
Shulchan Aruch.
Next source on the.
I'm trying to guess.
I don't have a sheet. You don't have a sheet.
You don't have a sheet.
There was only the.
There was like 10 of them. Probably something with the. Anyways.
I got all some money.
I got my money. Is Coach Rabbeinu Tam. Here, come around. Because of Rabbeinu Tam.
Source are we on?
Number four.
Oh, I thought we were like still on
the. No. Number four. Right? Four. In source four. Right, so Rabbeinu Tam, remind me, what is Rabbeinu Tam's name?
Yaakov.
Good, we're getting there. We're getting there. Very good.
I'm bad with names.
By the way, what is he there for? Right, and then he writes a book called Sefer HaYashar. Not there? It's not there? Oh, fine. Fine, I'll read it to you. Kata Rabbeinu Tam b'Sefer HaYashar, Shatnitz Getz. Moshe Beir Rabbeinu Zekeno, Vim Lo Ziyein. Pasul, the seven crowns that the Shatnez Getz letters are indeed essential. Maybe they're not definitional, but they are essential. Right? And he says why. And why? Why? He has a very nice lumdus. Why? It works. Rabbeinu Tam l'shitato. Dilo, I want you to explain the next line to me. Dilo, gara, mikotso, shel yud. It's no worse than Koso Shel Yud.
So he's saying it's part of the letter.
But come on, explain it to me. Why can Rabbeinu Tam say that it's actually part of the letter, at least for halachic purposes? Why?
Because you read it differently.
Come on.
You learn that.
Koso Shel Yud.
It changes the letter.
Okay.
What did Rabbeinu Tam say? Remember, we had two basic positions in Koso Shel Yud. Four, but two basic ones. What were the two basic positions? Rashi, which says that a lack of Kotzol Shel Yud means?
They're right.
Right? And what was Rabbeinu Tam's response to him?
That's too obvious.
That's too obvious.
That's
why?
Obviously not a letter.
Oh! And then the other three Shitan Rishonim said, Rashi's wrong because what Rashi calls a Yud is a non-Yud. We think that lacking a Kotzol Shel Yud is not obvious. Why? Because?
It still looks like a Yud.
Because it's a Yud, but a puzzle Yud. What is Rabbeinu Tam's lumdus?
That it's a letter, but it's not a letter.
That we learn from the halacha of Kotzol Shel Yud. Everything's coming together.
Without the current, it's still a letter, but it's a letter.
Good. That there can be things where it's undeniably a letter and still be puzzle.
So how would he go about
it? And therefore he says, right, once I know that it's possible for something to be a letter, but still require certain things, then I can apply it to the Shatnez Getz letters.
So how would he say about going and fixing up the sacred crown?
You can add them.
You can just add the crown?
Yeah, that's what God was doing. God went back and added
them. Yeah, because if it's not a letter, then he holds it's a letter. Though.
It's a letter, but an invalid letter. Right. Bidiyuk, and that's what Rabbeinu Tam does. He connects his lumdus of Kotzol Shel Yud. Oh, by the way, guys, I need to make this statement, because sometimes I've definitely said this wrong, sometimes I think I've said I'm going to get back to it and didn't say it wrong, but sometimes I have definitely said it wrong and someone called me on it yesterday in an email, but he's 100% right, and I'm already preparing Shir for next week, but I don't want you to go even a day without realizing this. Remember I said, right, we've been talking a lot about Kisidron. You're like, oh, Sefer Torah, and I said, we'll come back to it, right? Lehalacha, what we'll see, even though there's no Gemara about this, but there is a Mechilta, but it's based on the next Gemara that we haven't actually here, which is on Lamed of Beis, right? Because after this, we're finished till then, is Kisidron, Lehalacha, is only a halacha in Tefillin and Mezuzah, and not Sefer Torah.
But we said it has to have four.
And this is why I know I said it wrong sometimes. In Sefer Torah, there are things which invalidate it, but Kisidron is not one of them.
So you could just go back and...
No, then that's why I know I said it wrong, because I was like saying we'll get back to it, right? No, not every... You can't always be machshir it. And I think sometimes in my attempt to say you can't always be machshir it, right? I actually said, right, that there are different halachot of Kisidron in Sefer Torah. That's not accurate. There is no halach of Kisidron. There are rules. You can't correct everything in a Sefer Torah, right? But Kesidron is not one of those rules. Okay? We will come back to that next week. Like, but I want to just point that out and, you know, okay? Just know that. Fine.
I have questions on that.
Yes, and that's why I'm currently preparing a source sheet on this sugya, which I'm wrapping my head around. But hold that, okay? Good. Good. So Rabbeinu Tam, therefore, says that... Now, Rabbi Ovadia, therefore, says that that the Rambam might have derived his svara from who? From Rashi. Because maybe, if Rabbeinu Tam understood the sugya like Rashi, then what does he think invalidates letters only?
Only if it's a
non-letter. Only if it's a non-letter. Right? If you read the sugya like Rashi, remember we said this. What is Yotze from Rashi? That he thinks Kotzel Shel Yod is missing part of the letter. Which means that he thinks the only type of thing that can invalidate a Sefer Torah is a non-letter. Right? Which means that...
The crowns
are not non-letters, and therefore they don't invalidate. Right, so the Rambam probably, if he read this, he'd be like, Rashi, that's why he's so convinced that no crowns, even Shatnez gets, doesn't matter, or Ma'akev. Rabbeinu Tam, who believes that you can have a letter that's still invalid, can believe that the Shatnez get letters are Ma'akev.
No, it's still...
Should I repeat that one more time?
Even
you get that? Do you get that, Chop? Right? Should I repeat it one more time?
Hold that.
Did everyone get it? Everyone?
He's still holding that. It's a letter.
Did everyone get it, or do I have to repeat it? But answer my question.
Repeat it, yes. Repeat it.
Okay, one more time. Rambam seems to say that every letter, either if it's a letter, then any additions to it are not essential. Right? Not just not definitional, but not essential. Rabbeinu Tam says it's possible that something can be part of a letter. Sorry. Can be non-essential to not definitional to a letter, but still be essential.
Yes.
So Ravadia argues, where do you get this from? From the Machlokas Rashi Ben Tam. Because Rashi says that lacking Kotzel Shel Yod means you're missing the right-hand side of the Yod, which means it's a non-letter.
And they say that's obvious.
And right, and Rabbeinu Tam thinks that that's obvious because if it's a non-letter, you don't have to tell me. But therefore, he comes back and says a yud that's missing a kot is a yud, just an invalid yud. Which means that Rabbeinu Tam thinks, on principle, something can be non-definitional but still essential. Right, it can be a yud but lacking a kot and therefore invalid. And Rashi thinks
it can't.
Either it's a yud or it's not a yud. Right? And therefore, Ravadia argues that that explains the Machlokas by Tagin. That the Rambam is like Rashi. Either it's valid or it's invalid. Either it's a yod or it's not a yod. Either it's a letter or it's not a letter. It's a shin or it's not a shin. Maybe you should put on crowns, but that can't be essential. And Rabbeinu Tam says, I agree it's not definitional, but something can be non-definitional and still essential, just like Kotzel Shel Yod.
So by Rashi, you can fix it, and by Rabbeinu Tam, you can fix it.
It's not about fixing, right? You're right. The Kesidron, exactly. Now, according to Rashi, therefore, when something is invalid, you can never fix it in Tefillin or Mezuzah because of Kesidron.
But
at Rabbeinu Tam, you could potentially have something that you could just go back and fix because it's not definitional, even if it's essential.
It's a letter.
But it's, right, it's a letter, it's just a puzzle letter. Exactly.
Okay,
good. I think it's a nice piece of lumdus. It's a good chop. Okay. So that's Rabbeinu Tam. That you distinguish between the Shatnez gets letters and presumably the other ones. If you look at the tour, the Torah summarizes as follows. He said, "Vizuyan otiyot shechichot ziyunin ve'ilin shatnez gets." Right, there are seven letters that need these crowns. The shatnez gets letters. Now, the majority of Rishonim did not understand like the Rambam. They thought that shatnez gets was on all of stam, sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, and every time you have a shin and ayin v'chulei. B'chol makom shiovo echad me'elu tzarach lasus lash gimel ziyunin acham yam ve'acham yisal ve'achad lamala kazeh v'yesh mefarshin shlosh shan skufin lamala kazeh. Now, obviously, in the original, there are pictures. If you look in your Gemara, you can see the two deos in Rishonim. Right, there are two deos in Rishonim. Either it's, right, you see the pictures in your Gemara? Either it's three like this, or three like this. Right? Meaning, one, it's either three straight up. You're looking at the picture, guys. Turn your Gemara. Right? Either three straight up, or three out. One left, one right.
This?
These two pictures. Yeah, Bidyuk. Right? Tosfos cites both.
What's the top one?
What?
What's the top one though?
Okay, so you want look at Tosfos quickly. Tosfos notes that there are different versions of what the Shaniz guest looks like. So he said, Yesh mefarshim shlosha ziyunin hashnayim letzad smol echad limalav echad milamata. So one position is two up, one down. You see that picture? Just please look at the pictures. I can't describe it better than the pictures. Right? So possibility one is two up, one down. Okay? The second one is three up. And the third one is, right, leaning out left, leaning out right, one up in the middle. Right? That's Tosos. Those three, I could read the words, but just look at the three pictures. Those are the three down. Right? Three straight up, one left, one right, one up, or one up, one to the left, one to the right, and one down.
I want to write a sefer Torah like the first one.
Good for you.
So cool.
Okay, good. Those are the three shitot. Fine. Now he writes, cause of a Rambam she'eno pasul. Right, the Rambam says that none of these crowns, including the Shatnez gets, are ma'akev. The Yirashu pasul, but the Torah agrees with Rabbeinu Tam. Kevin Amarava shalosh oshutz shrichin shalosh diuzin ma'akvin. He said, how does he know? Because what does the word say? What does the Gemara say? Need. What does need sound like?
It's
essential. Then I would ask you again, what's the role of the Agadata? It's in contrast to the Shatnez gets. There are crowns that are, or it's about them. Right? I mean, either the story can be read in one of two ways, according to Rabbeinu Tam. One is, there are other crowns which are not essential, and that's why Moshe didn't understand it, or
All crowns.
The Shatnez gets letters are essential, but they're not definitional. And that's why. And Moshe learned from the story that they're essential. And that's what he reads in Tzrichot. Okay, are we clear on the two ways you can get this from the Agadata? Right? One is there are crowns which are not essential. The Shatnez gets are in contrast to them. Or Moshe learned from the story that even though they're not definitional, they are necessary. They are essential. Right? He said that's what it sounds like in the Rosh, because of Hilchos Tefillin, because of Mishusha Rabba, because of Tzilin Tagen Achirim, Chutz Midran and Getz, Mchizim Tzulin. Nachom. He quotes the Shimusha Rabba. The Shimusha Rabba goes even more extreme. What does the Shimusha Rabba say? Not only the Shatnez Getz letters of the crowd in Smakev, but which crowns are Smakev?
All of them.
All of them. How does he read the Gemara?
God went back.
Correct.
That
when God went back and tied the crowns, you were learning that they were all essential. So those are your three possibilities. Right? None of them are essential. All of them are essential.
But that doesn't explain why God didn't put them on in the first place. Why would God go back? Like, did it later come to him? Like,
well, that would be the key, that they're not definitional, they are essential.
So that it's never too late.
Right? He wrote the message.
So God's trying to make a point that you don't have to write them with them, but they should be there.
Right, that would be the way that Gemara is teaching you through. Obviously, it didn't happen. This is an Agadata, it's teaching you something.
Right.
But yes, the Agadata is teaching you that Ki'ilu, Moshe could write the Torah, God could write the Torah, and it makes perfect sense because the crowns are not definitional to letters, even if they're essential. Right? So you have three fundamentally different ways of reading the Sugya. One is the Rambam, which is to say,
if they're essential, even if not definitional, Moshe would know about that.
Or no, maybe he learned it from the story. Right? Remember, we're standing post the story, right? As it were. Right? So he quotes the Shimusha Rabba. Now, the Rush is reason, and he says, why does he disagree with the Shimusha Rabba? Why does he think that none of these other crowns invalidate?
So,
why does the Rush say that none of the other crowns besides the Shatnez gets invalidate a Torah? Why is this?
Because God, you have to guess. He was trying to make a comment.
He says, Kevan Shelo Huskru B'Talmud. Because they, unlike the Shatnez Getz, are not mentioned in the Gemara. Right? And how would the Shimusha Rabba respond, presumably? He would say, they are mentioned. Where are they mentioned? In the story. Right? The details aren't made up, and that's why we have tradition.
But then why are these separate? There has to be something.
Hanami. In Hanami, right? It's a very hard read, but I'm just saying that's what he says.
Isn't there Ketarim that Hashem Moshe Kashar Israel? No, the Adyam Mitnetzlu et Adyam.
So there are other Midrashim who try to connect these notion of crowns to the crowns the Jews have. Correct. The God gives crowns. Where did Nachum go? Did the lunch person come or something?
No.
Anyways. Now. So the Beit Yosef is something interesting. The Beit Yosef argues, how does he explain the Rambam? So in 6, he says, I think that the reason the Rambam thinks that none of these crowns are Ma'akev, what does he say? Look at 6. The Yeshem Dmolav, Vamaliskir Zayin, Zion Osir Shanez Gatsim Muskar Talmud. Why does the Rambam not mention these? It says, Venir Ali, Shehuz Al Sabar, Shloba Rabba, Allah Mitchin Minak Sofrim, Lezainan, Gubalo. He has a very radical position, which is, then what the Rambam meant was that Rava wasn't telling you the halacha, you're just saying what people do. That's a very hard read. Why is that a hard read?
Because that's not what he said.
Yeah, what does the Rambam say?
That is halacha.
You need them. He just understands Shanes gets differently than the Beis Yosef. Not that every Shin, Ayin, Tet, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadik needs it, but specific letters in Mizuzah need it. Why does he say such a thing? I don't know. That was his Mizuzah. I don't know. Well, don't ask me. The Gonim said the same thing. Right? What do you ask the Gonim? I don't know.
You can argue, though, that since you're saying that the Rambam got it from the Gonim, but obviously you read 2 and 3, Gonim that have different traditions, so you can say that it wasn't halacha, but it actually was tradition.
Correct. Again, why they had traditions, I don't know, but presumably the reason that was traditions. Okay, so let's summarize what we've seen so far. Okay, and this is, right, we have basically three positions, and we have to justify each of them conceptually in the Gemara. The extreme positions are Shimush Rabba. Shimush Rabba says all crowns are Ma'akev.
Yeah.
What? How? Okay? You missed the Shimush Rabba. Okay? But let's summarize the three positions. The most extreme position is that all crowns are Ma'akev. Who says that?
Shimush
Rabba. How does he presumably read our Gemara to justify that?
God went back to fix it.
Correct. He probably reads the story as saying that, yes, it's readable, but God went back to put on the crowns, and that means all the crowns. Okay. All the way to the other extreme, you have the Rambam, who says, no crowns are Ma'akev.
But
right?
These specific ones.
But these specific letters should have it.
Because
now, why he thinks that Shanes gets his only specific letters in Mezuzah is presumably Mesura. Right? That's his tradition, as we see in the Gonim. Why does he think that no crowns whatsoever are Ma'akev? Because he thinks that they're not only are they not definitional, they're not essential. How does he know they're not definitional? The Rav's point from our Agadata?
Because
the letters were there and he ties on afterwards. Where might the Rambam have gotten this notion that only something that makes something a non-letter is Ma'akev? Right? From Rashi's understanding of Kotzo Shoyud. That the only type of thing that invalidates is a non-letter. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, there's a middle position. Right? Which is that there are things in life, like Kotzo Shoyud, where
they're not essential.
It's still a letter. No, they are essential, but they're not definitional. But he limits that to which 7? The Shanes Getz. Why? What's his diuk according to the Torah?
Contrast with the Torah.
Correct. That the way you read this Gemara is that there were other crowns which are not essential, but the Shanes Getz are tzrichot. Right. That's what Rava says, and that's Rabbeinu Tam. Now, Beis Yosef is a bizarre position, which is to say that even when Rava says tzrichot, he doesn't mean tzrichot. He means
it's preferred.
Well, that's what Sofrim do, but it's not essential at all.
He forgot to write the word love.
Okay. What time is it?
It is 12:54.
Okay. Okay, so we actually just finished the question of crowns. The second part of the sources here is not about crowns. It's about the other thing in the Gemara here, which is that there is a machlokes about what a chet looks like. So if you look at the pictures here, right, Tosus quotes two positions. The position that is in our Sifrei Torah is the position of Rabbeinu Tam, which is how do you write a chet?
Two
zions connected by a bridge in the middle. Rashi says it basically looks like a chet that you would print normally with a little bit of a thing at the end.
Which is more difficult.
Correct. Now the Gemara. So that point, I don't want to get into so much. I just want you to know that those two shittot exist. What we have left, it's sort of about crown, is the following. All of our discussion right now has been talking about, are they essential, definitional, right, not essential or definitional. The one other sugya you need to look at is the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuvhei, is talking about the issue of writing on Shabbos. And the Gemara talks about what happens if someone wanted to write a letter with crowns and didn't do it. Is he liable or not? So I guess we're going to have to do that next week.
If he wants to write it with
him. Yeah, right?
But
if he misses...
Not then obviously.
Try to read that Gemara. So that's what you would say, right? So try... What I'm going to try to do next week is cover this as
maybe
part of the shir.
The intent is what matters.
Good. So what we're going to get into is what is the, what the Gemara is going to teach you on Shabbos. A local Shabbos about halacha where intent is uniquely important. Or does it teach us something about the crowns? Try to read that. And then we'll start on the question of Kesidron by getting into the Gemara. Just guys, listen. Again, it's going to be next week after Rosh Hashanah, so I'm going to have to remind you. But
Rosh Hashanah is Sunday night, right?
Sunday night.
Wow.
So the Gemara on next thing we're going to do basically is like this. Guys, just to tell you where we are. The Gemara has a bunch of halachot on Lamed Amud Aleph about how long is a Sefer Torah, how many columns, things like that. We're not going to get too much into it. What I do want to do is this question of Toet. Is the Gemara is a discussion of what happens if you forgot something. Are you allowed to hang letters and words, right? Like put it in the margin, but like on top. I want to talk about that and how that relates to the question of Kesidron, right? And we're going to get into the subject of Kesidron. And that's why that's why we're going to get into it, because this halacha, the Rambam distinguishes in the halacha of hanging between Sefer Torah, Chilin Mezuzah, which gets the Mishnah notes is based on our halacha that there is no Kesidron Sefer Torah. And what I want to do is use that as our petach to understand Kesidron. But by next week, I want to, before we wrap up Yom Kippur, I want to be on Laman Amid Beis, have finished up that Kesidron issue. And we'll see what else we have time to do. Go ahead. I will see you tomorrow, so I'm not going to say Matova because I'm coming with you to the cocktail, but...